Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat and Chris. My goodness, what a program we have for you today. I'm so excited to be sharing with you today on VFN Radio. There's so much happening and so much to share. But my goodness, sometimes, Pat, you got to take a pause and just meditate and think about how good God is and how good you have it. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a chance to meet a woman yesterday who had just come from Cuba, and she's in the United States. This is a older woman, and so she has some context of living in a country like Cuba all these years, and it was an amazing pleasure just to sit there and just let her tell me her story. You know, I always say that everybody has a fascinating story. Not everybody can articulate it and share it maybe in a way that could capture everyone's attention, but let me tell you something. Everybody has a story. And her story was just remarkable. And so I'm listening as she's sharing to me some of the struggles and some of the things that people right now in Cuba are dealing with.
Wow.
I mean, things that we take for granted today. So here she is living in Cuba, and she says, you'd be surprised of the little basic things that you have in America that we don't have there in Cuba.
Yeah, like what?
Well, she said, I said, when you first came to the States, what was the thing that really just kind of got you? She said a couple things. She said, you don't understand, when I got on the interstate, because she first landed in Miami from Cuba, and then she came up to the Gulf Coast region, she said, we had to make a lot of stops, obviously, you know, go to a restroom. And she goes, every time that I would go to a public restroom, I would be amazed. I go, what? She goes, I would be amazed.
I am. You know me? Whoa.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. She comes from Cuba, and she says, you don't understand that in our country, we don't have cleaning products. You can't find cleaning supplies. And when I went to these public restrooms, and I saw how they were just kept so clean and so nice, you understand, we have to invent methods and invent, use some sort of concoctions to clean your own bathroom at home using salt and this, and I couldn't believe it. She said, simple deodorant.
Wow.
Deodorant.
Thank you, Lord, for deodorant.
I know it. Praise God.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the basic things that they didn't have in Cuba. She says when she landed off the plane, she said she froze in shock. When she got to the parking lot, she's like, I was like a kid, you know, I've never seen this stuff before. You don't see this stuff in Cuba. She said, when I got to the parking lot and I saw all of those cars, she goes, I just stood still. I just stood still. I'd never seen cars like that before. And if you've seen pictures of Cuba now, I mean, they've got cars from the 1950s driving down the street.
Oh,
I mean, they've got.
Oh, yeah. They're like back in a time warp.
Huge.
I mean, but also says a lot about their ingenuity.
Well, they're able to maintain. So I'm talking about being able to maintain the vehicles?
Well, it just makes me think, too, that if I need to get this copier fixed, I need to go to Cuba, because they're talking about...
Hey.
They're talking about...
Hey, let me tell you something.
They got parts.
They got parts.
Yeah, right.
They can get parts. So, you know, I was just thinking, she was happy about how blessed, actually the Lord blessed her here in the United States, and just happy to be here. And it just got me to thinking again about how blessed we are to live in this country, where we take just so many of the common just things that we take for normal, like deodorant for granted.
I'm so glad you remembered that today.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you got to be blessed. You got to get look back and count our blessings and realize that not everyone has it the way you have it.
Right.
You know what they used to use for that?
What's that?
You don't?
No, tell me.
Give me a Google moment. No. They use potato.
Really?
They use potato. Put a potato under both your arms.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
That's why you see their arms out further. Their arms like out further and stuff.
Are you serious?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, hey.
What? You think I'm serious? I mean, we're talking about a generation that said if you walked up the steps behind a lady and saw her ankles, you had to marry her.
Oh my goodness. Right.
It's not too far-fetched to have a potato up under your armpit.
Mm.
But seriously.
Wow.
Obviously, they would slice the potato, but what was in the potato... Hold on, I feel like I'm actually in a ballroom at this moment. hello, welcome to the fifth annual. Waiting for our engineer to get that sound kind of working a little bit better. The whatever's in there, the starch or whatever's inside of a potato.
Absorbs.
I don't know if you ever cook potatoes. Well,
no.
I know.
No, I don't. I do that.
I remember when I did. I remember that.
Yeah.
And the starch would rise up, and you think starch, you know, and whatever else is in there. But what really sealed it for me when I came, saw the other day when Pat came in with two big slices of potato. A new diet thing. He can't eat cards, but he can wear them.
I can wear them. Is this true?
This is true.
No, that's it. You're right. You know, I remember when Jared went to Haiti, and that's my son, and... you know, at that particular age, I think it's good for everybody to travel the world.
Oh, yeah.
Travel the world. And so he went to Haiti. And the first place they took him to in Port-au-Prince was a place kind of similar to a Domino's.
Mm.
And that was the metropolis.
Oh, wow.
And now they were going to head to the remote side.
Oh, gosh.
Of Haiti in a beat-up plane and landed where there was no electricity. And he said, you can drink bleach. I drank bleach for the whole time I was there because they put bleach to water. You know how you have to bleach the water.
Sterilize it.
Yeah, and the table, you couldn't even see the table because it was covered with flies.
Oh, my God.
And so they would actually, you know, he was helping out an orphanage, I guess. He was helping out. I just want to say now, I don't know why he was wrestling with the orphans, but but they were tough. Some of those kids were tough. Yeah, they had a big... teenage thing going on, and they would just see how many flies they can catch by swinging their hand over the table and kind of like catching as many before they flew off. But you'd have to hit the table before so they'd all leave.
Mm.
And this wasn't too far ago. This was just a few moments ago,
right?
And we're blessed. We're very blessed.
I mean, very blessed.
We get one fly in the room. We're thinking, dear God, what have we done wrong?
It's a plague.
It's a plague. It's a plague.
Are we being invaded?
Yeah, speaking of that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to see that
make any
thing
comments.
In Haiti.
I didn't make any comments.
In Haiti, you wouldn't be able to see
be
that.
Covered. You'd be flying across the room.
Did it just levitated? Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, I'm hoping to be able, I don't know if you know this or not. This is amazing. You know, I'm the only person that watches the History Channel with anticipation. I'll watch something for the second time, hoping it turns out different. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like a Saints game.
Oh,
and, snap. Speaking of Tim Tebow, let's move on. What's up with that? I think God's calling him full time ministry.
Full time. Yeah. Come on, man.
I remember that experience with me. You don't even want a free hot dog. You don't want free ice cream.
Free.
You want free. We're talking about you can have everything. No, we don't want any of it. Just pray for us.
Yeah.
No. I will pray for you. First, buy some stuff first.
Yeah. It's time to let go.
I want to pay them the $3 for the same coke that you want to give me for free.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
No, I am compassionate that she got bit by a spider. No, I will pray for you. But right now, we have $7,000 invested in this setup. We need to buy something. A lot of frozen meatballs here and ice cream and shaved ice and everything else. It's like,
t-shirts.
Okay, God. Okay, yeah, t-shirt. Okay, God, I got it. Football's not for me.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll talk more about that in the future. All I remember was my son, who was little then, is big now.
Mm.
Looked at John, who was the same size as he was, and he said, "You're a big kid.
You're a big kid."
He said, "You're a big kid." You remember that?
Oh, I remember. He was very, very cute. At
spoke
that
his
time
mind.
His
yeah,
life.
He was cute. Cute. Enjoy cuteness while you can.
Hmm.
Well, I don't want to say this that, the Duck Dynasty crew, these Christian family that's in Monroe, Louisiana. And I know that because they show the water tower. And I can tell by the swamp. These guys have written books.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow, they know to write?
Yeah, no, that's what I was talking about, book TV. That's what I was talking about. They've written books. And I mean, it's hard for me. If I turn on book TV, I got to be careful because I can't break myself away. Uh-huh. I just cannot break myself away. I'm just anticipating this author who's did all this research and all this time, and then you're hearing their own voice and they're talking about it. And it's just like, how beautiful. It's like treasure, you know? And then all of a sudden they pop up, well, the top 10 bestsellers, the top 10 bestsellers for, I guess, the New York Times or the published weekly notifications of bestsellers for C-SPAN Book Club and all that. So you're thinking, well, obviously this has to do with the inner workings of the political structure, what's taking place in the Revolutionary War and how, you know, all that. Well, Duck Dynasty made two of the top five. Make two of the
Not
top
one,
five. And check out what the first one is. This is the cover. It's the first one. The name of the first one is Happy, Happy, Happy. Look at it, man. You got to see this.
Phil.
You can see it on the torch. Is that Phil?
Yeah, it's Phil.
I couldn't tell by shotgun. and then you got, look at, he's like number three, right? He is number three. And he's even beaten out Lean In. And Lean In is the Facebook president, maybe, or the Yahoo president, one of the
Facebook.
He's beating the CEO of Facebook in her book Lean In. Mm. Which is where she called all the women out of their houses and the workers out of their houses and brought them back into the workplace when for years I believe women fought for the right to be able to work either place. Mm-hmm. But she called them back into the hub. Anyway, so the Lean In was number four, but Happy, Happy, Happy is number three. And not only that, the CEO of Facebook is surrounded because she's number four. Number five is entitled by the Duck Dynasty, the Duck Dynasty family. Ooh. And they're sitting there, and I don't know, he has a suit on.
With the sleeves ripped out. The sleeves,
the shirt, and the jacket are cut out. So I guess it's just so, by the way.
Oh, look at Si, he's got shorts on.
Does he? Oh my goodness.
That's actually real water. I saw the picture of that real shot, by the way. They were standing in water, all dressed up.
Right.
Well, they, and with that, the, it's amazing that the CEO of Facebook, the author of Lean In, is surrounded in the top five sellers by Christians who just love God, love what they're doing. God is blessed. And although you look at this family, and Southerners really do confuse a lot of people in the North, because the assumption is because they talk slow, they think slow. But really, I think that...
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, yes, sir. That was kind of defensive, wasn't it?
A little bit.
I'm telling
wasn't
you.
Defensive. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. All right.
All right.
Anyway, so...
Don't hurt me.
Right.
All right. As long as you know.
You're a big kid.
Anyway,
And in that, Phil, the father of this crew, has a master's degree, I believe. Either way, he was a professor,
he's very
a teacher. Yeah, he's definitely a graduate, you know, of a university and taught in school. Oh, he's a teacher. And not only that, but I believe that their son, that's the CEO of their company, which now is around the world, is they play it off really well. They're doing really good. Is a graduate of Harvard or Yale, one of the other of those, I believe.
Wow.
A business school, and he also went to LSU. And so that's just amazing. Look behind those beards. Donna showed me a picture of them before they had beards, and they look like people. Now, Cy kind of, I think he looks the total same. All I want to say is the Publisher's Weekly Notification bestseller list on Book TV, which you can find at booktv.org, C-SPAN 2, where the authors come and do nonfiction books and talk about them. Yes, two of the top five is the Duck Dynasty. You can see these books and find out more on the VFN Torch. Well, we're going to be talking in a moment about a biblical perspective, God's news behind the news about Syria. And we've been talking about it, but God reveals things and things unfold in wisdom of the Lord. Take time to spend time with God when somebody asks you a question so big, so powerful, that you just want to crank something off. You want to be slow to speak because this is a lot to this. And we are 5 days out from the anniversary of 9/11. And we want to kind of give a biblical perspective, a biblical wise perspective. Let's just look at this thing as Christians and as a church and begin to think about it. And we can't be so quick to just say, we'll talk. You know, stay tuned after this break. In a moment, a few moments, we're going to be going to it, but we'll be talking about it. But you need to be able to hear just a biblical perspective and a history perspective of what's going on. Not only old history, but recent history, like last 8 year history. Mm. And then in that, it won't be hard for you in the context of reality to know how to pray, to know how to speak to your representatives about what's going on and get a biblical perspective of what's happening. Man, I'm telling you, I don't know if I was, I went to YouTube, and when I went to YouTube to look up a video, I guess you just type in YouTube and a front page comes up of their whatever, you know, videos. And the very top video, and just melted my heart. It just totally melted my heart. And I don't know the I kind of think I remember historically there was a program on television years ago where, you know, mothers with troubled teens would come, or troubled children would come, and they would, single mothers. And this particular man would come out on, and fought and give them authority because they've never experienced authority before. In a moment, you're about to hear an encounter between this quote, possible sergeant, unquote, and a young child, probably about maybe 7 years old or something like that, that his mother had brought to this particular encounter because obviously she must have been at her wit's end. And we find out from the heart of a child what was really going on. And I just want to say that the fathers are under siege. The whole concept of fathering is under the siege. I mean, say what you want to, it's under siege. It's so under siege, so under siege that most don't even think it's under siege anymore. Most just think, you know, we just got to move on. Let's just pass this fathering thing. Let's just do it without the father. Sort of like I was listening to a meeting that was taking place in Harlem where leaders were coming together to discuss what was happening with programs and the Head Start, Healthy Start, Head Start program. A really great conversation. But the problem was with one of the conversation was that one lady said, well, let's just skip over the fact that the 17-year-old's having a child. Let's just move on. Let's just move on and just right. start. Because that's just the reality. Let's don't even talk about it. And it just went right into the problem. And it's like, well, they're trying to figure out a solution. And she just went past the whole seed bed of the whole right. thing, you know. Because the absence of a father in one's home is a prerequisite based statistically that's very high. That there's going to be a child born out of wedlock, that there's going to be a place of poverty in that child's life, and all these things that Head Start's trying to do, I believe, a wonderful job at it. And they invited people to come out and just watch the programs work because I think funding is going down, the reason why they were talking about it. And it might have been in D.C. It was a different meeting that I saw in Harlem about books and all. But this... But the thing is, you can't just skip over fathering. You can't skip over fatherless children. You can't skip over fathers who rebelled on fathering, and nor can you skip over families who rebelled on husbanding and fathering. You know what I'm saying? Whatever way it happened, you just can't skip over that. And you got to hear this. So this kid just prophesies. This prophesies. And I believe this is going to, you're going to hear this quite often on VFN Radio because this is our heart for 10 years. 10 years, I gave every moment of my life for the Malachi mandate. I bought signs and met with leaders and political leaders, military leaders, business leaders, church leaders. I met with the fatherless. There's 25 plus million, probably more now, fatherless children. 46% of all children are growing up like in a fatherless home, I believe, or something of that nature now. And 46% of the children who... live in a fatherless home, but only see their father once or twice for that first year and never again after the second. I mean, just this huge statistics. And we have all those statistics available for you, and we'll make them available with this on the torch. But listen to this young man. Imagine his mother sitting there in a chair. You can see this video on the BFN torch. She's at her wit's end. And she's thinking, I'll just bring him to this show. And this man's coming in saying, these kids just need authority. So he's coming in basically as a father figure, say, this thing's going to happen. And so she's bringing her son to a father, isn't she, really?
Yeah.
But imagine he's all dressed in camis. He's got this militant drill sergeant hat on. I mean, you got to see this. You've got to see the. You're fixing to hear it. And he's going to be yelling at this kid. What do you want? Do you want to go with me? And listen to what the little kid says.
You love that woman right there? You love her, right?
Yeah. And he's talking about, you know, do you love her? He's pointing at the mother, asking, do you love him? Do you love her? Do you love her?
You love that woman right there? You love her, right? Yes, sir. Now, you're not an adult till you're 18. Do you want me to be your daddy for the next 8 years, son? Huh?
Yes, sir.
You do?
Wow.
Why you want me to be your daddy?
I have no daddy.
You have no daddy? Well, let me tell you something. Come here, give me a hug.
He melts. The drill sergeant melts, grabs the boy, hugs him, walks off the stage, because the reality is the enemy is taking fatherhood and emasculating it, seducing it, destroying it, divorcing it, shaming it, anything just to get the concept of fathering out of our faces, so that for whatever reason, and this is what Jesus said, if you bind the strong man, if you bind the father, if you bind the husband, if you screw him up, tie him down, bind him up, then you can rob everybody in that household and destroy them.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What can be done about the misinterpretation of the Constitution? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
It seems that the clause in the Constitution regarding, you know, laws being passed regarding an establishment of religion has been twisted into saying something that it does not say. Why can't we start exploring a constitutional amendment that would clarify that and restate what it actually means and what it does not mean?
In order to pass the constitutional process, we have to do this. You have to get basically two-thirds majority out of the United States Senate. That's 67 votes. And then you have to get a supermajority of the states to go along with you. So this is not an easy process. So right now, I think the best avenue of attack is focusing in on these judges. All of this is significant. All of these have ramifications, and we will keep everybody posted as not only the issue of judges go forward, but also the work here at the American Center for Law and Justice.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion, you know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and right there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. You can write your own devotional. Listen,
just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. If you didn't just hear, you have to hear this young boy, about 7 years old, saying as he's being just confronted for his rebellion because of his mother, a single mother, trying to, is at her wit's end at seven. If you're wit's end at seven.
Wow.
I look at people who are struggling with, you know, those that age. I'm thinking, like, bless your
really?
Heart. You don't even know. You don't even know yet. You don't even know yet. Because all of society wants to destroy your children. And you're going to have to fight with every breath, with every ounce of strength, with every fiber of your body. You have to fight for them. And because Satan is doing as hard as he can to fight for them into his kingdom.
Yeah.
And once you've done everything you can do as a parent to fight, then you got to stand. Then you have to stand for them.
Yeah.
Stand before God and intercede and pray and just be there in the context of the journey. And fatherhood is under siege. It's going to require fathers to wake up, men to wake up, us to rediscover who God called us to be, to shake off all of the Samson struggles and sapped by sin, and to say, dear God, would you renew our hearts? Would you renew us? Make a man of us, a man of integrity, a man of the Spirit, a man of his word. And allow God to begin to restore fatherhood, honor to fatherhood. Mm. But until we honor God as father, we can expect no father honoring here on earth. Because he says, if I'm your father, where's my honor, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where's my honor? The thing is, the truth is, we can call people father all day long. And you can call the person who is your biological father or father in your life father all day long. But if you don't honor them, that's just flattering lips.
Mm.
Because when somebody is your father, that is shown by honor. And when God is your father, we honor him. And when he talks about it, he's talking about Malachi. How do we honor you? And he says, you honor me with what I give you. You give me a part of that increase first. And when you do that, then you're saying, I'm first in your life. And I'm honoring you as the father in my life. Well, I want to be able to talk about a biblical perspective, biblical wise perspective, God's news behind the news. As I was pondering this and just praying over it and trying to type as many notes as I could that kind of made sense, and I began to ponder the fact that where's the church in all this? You know, where's the church? Where are we in this? Do we just sit silently by while everything falls apart and goes to hell in a handbasket and we end up in some destructive place? Or are we supposed to preach the gospel, supposed to be able to bring insight? Does not God speak to us and give us wisdom and insight and response? Aren't kings supposed to come to our light and seek wisdom for what God is saying? Didn't even Jehoshaphat wait and say, is there not a prophet in the place before we go to war here? I mean, think about it. God does speak, and it's like we got to hear what he's saying. We aren't supposed to sit silently by. God will speak to us and share with us wisdom, and we're supposed to share that wisdom with leaders and those that we choose to be able to represent us and understand what we're facing here at this one moment when they're talking about, you know, firing weapons into a small country called Syria over a very small country named Israel. We got to really get a biblical perspective over this, because World War II and World War I started with so much less happenings. We have had so many Archduke Ferdinand moments right now. It's like the enemy is trying to push us, you know, Satan is trying to push this world into war. And it's like, we're not even thinking this thing through. God, and this is what Jehoshaphat would do. This is what David would do. And those that would love God, they would say, let's go find out what God is saying here. Let's don't do nothing unless God is saying, telling us what to do. And so let's just begin to explore that. We all know in part and we prophesy in part, but let's get a biblical perspective, because I see Christians who love God not thinking things through, and we're saying things that seem very ungodly about our leadership, or saying things that are ungodly about the horrific tragedy of human beings being gassed, not just women and children, but men, women, and children being, this is horrific. And so if we don't talk in context, if we don't talk in wisdom, if we don't slow down and put our speech together with wisdom, then we're gonna sound evil, and we're called to be compassionate. God is a just God and brings justice. Now, how that justice comes, we seek God, and God tells us how that justice is supposed to come. We're not man's judge. You know, America's only 5% of the world's population, but we do seek God, who is the judge, and say, you know, obviously this is a huge injustice and it needs to be dealt with. But we got to consider, you know, context, because remember, God is just. He is very just. And so we have to begin to talk about a biblical narrative here. You talk about political narratives and war narratives, and the narrative we need is, let's talk in the conversation of the Word of God and the wisdom of God. And the first thing is that we're hearing people are saying that, you know, we should not be spending our money on other countries while we have children in our own country that need to be educated. It's like, excuse me, ma'am. If a child was just gassed and his skin peeled off and their lungs turned inward and their bowels released and their eyes roll back in their head and they suffocated to death because of chemicals, because somebody can't read right now, that is not A1 on the priority. And as a Christian, and as a church, we got to say, okay, this is an injustice. Don't skip over it, no matter what it is, because remember, God loves every man on the face of this earth. He doesn't love you more than he loves them, and love your children more than he loves them. He loves us all. And so we have to realize injustice just happened to mankind. Human beings, people who God loves, created the image and likeness of God, they suffered at the hands of someone who God knows who did this. He knows. The United Nations doesn't know. And if they do, they're not telling. They're saying we don't know. Our leaders are saying, we are almost definitely, almost accurately, possibly, is it 100%? Your representatives ask. And they say, well, nothing's 100%. And so the first thing I want to say is, this is what Jesus says about money. Use it to help people while you have it, not to hoard it. And making statements like, well, we need money, we're in debt, and we just have to let this injustice happen, that is not of God. That would not be a God perspective. I mean, you think about it, and there is no comparison, but they're comparing it, so I'm going to talk about it. That's kind of the perspective America took when Israel, and we're going to talk more about that, when Israel was suffering, being gassed and being put on trains. And it's even reported that as a train went by a church filled, packed like sardines with Jews going to this concentration camp, they were screaming and hollering, and the church just turned their music up louder because of the noise that was going on. So knowing that that happened, that huge injustice happened, and I'm going to talk about that because they're comparing it, that we'd want to turn our music down. We want to get our knees on the ground. We want to acknowledge that there's an injustice. I mean, they're saying this could be something like that, so we need to be able to think about it. And money should never be the reason why we don't help someone, so we can have it and they can't have it to be helped. Period. Jesus says, listen, the wise steward is the one that realizes in the future he ain't going to have nothing. Right. So you better use what he does have to be able to help people. Listen, if there's injustice, we should help people. If increase comes from God, God's going to take care of those who take care of his and handle injustices that take place. And so we have to remember, take that into context, that okay, yeah. And even that, there was a whole ship full of Jews that were coming to America because of Hitler coming against the Jews, and America turned the boat away only for them to be destroyed. You know, first they went to Cuba, the country west of Cuba.
Dominican Republic?
Dominican. And then they came to Florida. And then reportedly they were all destroyed.
Yeah.
So we have to pay attention. It looks like, you know, and this is, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you up front, give you a commercial about where I'm going. The enemy is stealing authentic narratives. He is stealing people's true pain. He is stealing what we know to be true, and he's using it to fulfill his vision, his desires, which are evil in the earth. And the confusing part, if you can't hear God, you can't dissect between the true narrative of what happened in our history and how the enemy's perverting the narrative and mixing it together and constantly putting it out as if this is the same thing. You have to be able to dissect it. I mean, even like the civil rights movement is being held hostage and used for things that Dr. King never even thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't tell you what he thought about, but what his speeches even was about. And it's like, my goodness, that's what he did and what the folks did in America for America was beautiful, and the sacrifice was huge. And somebody distilled that narrative and put it on something else, I'm telling you, and that's what's happening right here. We're having a narrative in the world, a gassing narrative, stolen, and we won't talk about it. But if we stand by and do nothing, and allow someone to be gassed, a citizen now we're talking about some military soldiers that are fighting each other in a civil war in a country, but just people in that country that are being gassed and do nothing. God's a just God. Do you really think that in the future we will not see that same situation?
Right.
Do you not think that our soldiers, when they go to war, that all of a sudden, instead of worrying about a bullet or worrying about a bomb or worrying about a grenade or worrying about some whatever, that all of a sudden there's a big cloud that comes their way that hadn't happened since 1925? Don't think that if we don't respond, you know, this is a huge injustice, but I can't help, and I don't know in the natural sense, but in what God's revealing to me, the narrative is being stolen, and it is a righteous statement, but my concern is it's not a righteous motive. You have to understand this. We're hearing over and over again from our leaders that the Arab League stands with, supports the United States all by itself, going into a different hemisphere, just north of Israel, in Syria, to be able to fire bombs into a civilian population. It's like, who is this Arab League? I talked about this the other day. You have to understand the Arab League is 22 nations, one of which is Syria, who's suspended now. In other words, one of Assad, the king of Syria, one of their own folks has gone rogue here. And you think the other 21 nations who have all this money and all this military, who are saying they support us to come into their hemisphere to be able to deal with the consequences of this injustice, it should be the other way around. I mean, logic and wisdom says, wait a minute, look how huge you are. We're talking about Morocco and Libya and Chad and Egypt and Iraq and Iran and Jordan and Lebanon and, you know, Sudan and all these different countries. I can't even name it. 21, 22. And they know Assad. They sat at the table with Assad. He was one of their group. He was one of the Arab League, so they would even know how to deal with him. They know more than we would know in the context of that. And this needs to be responded to. But how in the world, because our leaders are saying over and over again, that we have to respond to this. We cannot sit idly by. At the same time, they're saying, but we're not going to touch the man who actually we say unequivocally, beyond a shadow of a doubt, unquote, that gassed these folks, his own people. It's like, okay, you're going to punch me for what he did? You're going to kill more women and children. You're going to do the same thing he did. Right. And that's going to show him something.
If Hitler is gassing folks, if Hitler in Germany is gassing people, don't kill Germans.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to bring justice to Hitler.
Right.
Who, by the way, was such a coward. He took a pill. It makes no sense. Why would you serve justice on hurting innocent Syrian people, risking more women and children? 100,000 people have died in this civil war. They're reporting that over 1,000 has been affected, right at 1,000 have been poisoned by this chemical gas and killed. But how in the world letting the one that, you know, I'm not saying I know, I'm just saying what they're saying as you watch them speak on at Congress and before Congress, the Secretary of State John Kerry and Secretary of Defense and the head general, and they're talking about they know. And it's like, why are you punching me for what they did? Why if you said he killed women and children and it's bad, we agree with you. But if you're going to harm somebody, harm him. Don't harm more women and children. You said that's. Why would you launch bombs in there? And at the same time, knowing the injustices that are taking place, knowing that you're going to embolden, unquote, this is the words, you're going to embolden the opposition. In other words, that the people supposedly that are coming against the king in this civil war over there, King Assad, that there's some righteous folks. I mean, you can see their leaders. Watch video of one of their leaders that reportedly America has gotten behind in some way through this person and that person who kills one of the opponents, cuts out his heart, and takes a bite out of it.
Yeah. Mm.
You have to understand this is satanic. All of this stuff, this is a dark, dark place. And the scene where that they're shooting video and they're putting it up of all these different things that are taking place. And I was watching where they took these prisoners. They took these prisoners, you know, one force took another force's prisoners, and they have them all in one area. So you have all these Syrians and or possible soldiers that came into Syria, but all Muslims, based on what their confession was at that moment. With surrounded, they're on the ground. Some of them are shot. Some of them are all alive, and they're screaming and they're hollering, of course. And then the people around them have guns over them. And then this is what they're all saying. The ones on the ground who are about to be shot, the ones wounded on the ground about to be shot, the ones standing around the ones about to shoot them, they're all saying the same thing. Mm. Ali Akbar. They're all crying out to a God that's not answering. The one who's on the ground is crying out to a God that's not answering. Listen, the Quran says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then you are actually denying Muhammad as a prophet of God, and you're saying that the Quran is not the book of God.
Right.
And these guys who are crying out and they feel in their heart they're serving God, the God that they're serving, look what's happening to them. They're all, imagine, okay, just, you know, move the Arab language away. And imagine it being English or Spanish, whatever language you speak. And so you have these people on the ground and these people standing around, and they're all in this battle, in this tussle, and they all believe they're doing God's work. And the person on the ground is going, Jesus, 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 help us, Jesus, Jesus, help us. They're bleeding, and they know they're about to be shot. And then the soldiers standing around them with guns about to shoot them are going, Jesus, we love you. We're doing this in your name, Jesus. We're doing this in your name, Jesus. And then the people on the ground, Jesus, help us. They're about to kill us. They're about to kill us. And then all of a sudden, up in, and then the people standing up, and they're going, they're saying, very specifically, they're saying, just giving you the comparison here. And they're going, Jesus, we're going to kill these guys in your name. God, we're going to kill these guys in your name. And that's what's going on. I mean, just because you can't understand the language, that's what they're saying. And then all of a sudden,
They start firing shots into these men that are on the ground, young boys, men, all different ages, and they killed their own brothers in the name of Allah. While they're all crying out to him. While they're all crying out to them. Listen, we are walking in to something originally we could have walked in with hope and light and with the gospel and a city on a hill. But now we're embracing that same confusion, that same Islamic, Muslim radicalism. We're saying that it's quote, the president at Cairo University. I consider it my job as the president of the United States to defend negative stereotypes of Islam anywhere. To fight against any negative stereotypes of Islam anywhere in the world that it's found. Our president, that's Cairo University, our president, the United Nations, says the future must not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet Muhammad. Well, this is what they consider blaspheming. Jesus is Lord. He's the only way to God. The Quran's not the word of God. The Bible, the Holy Bible, is the word of God. Guess what? Imprisonment. People in prison right now, they consider that blaspheme. So our president openly makes this statement. And so I'm talking about context of what's going on right here. So you have the Arab League that surrounds, these nations surround Israel. These nations surround Israel. We're embracing Islam. That confusion that's taking place in Syria. We're saying we need to kill more women and children to be able to satisfy. We're not going to deal with Hitler. We're not going to deal with Assad that everybody's saying. And that's what they're saying, that he's the one that did this. United Nations is not saying this. And that's the answer, to keep him in power and then to embolden somebody that appears that they're going to be willing just to destroy even Syrian people to the point of cutting their chest open and biting just the evil. It's just the devil running wild in the name of a God that does not exist.
Wow.
But Jesus said, there'll be a day that people kill you thinking they're doing me a favor. Didn't he? We're just talking about context here, because we're speaking out of turn. Some things that we're saying is not good. And finally, when we're looking at this, we need to turn, of all the people that we can turn to, of all the people we can turn to on the earth, who would understand and have empathy towards what's going on, and wisdom, and a military might to be able to deal with this, with balance, would be Israel. Who was gassed? Who is right next to them? Who understands through their own lineage, having family members that have been wrongly and justly gassed and killed and destroyed? We shouldn't be just having them in the mix. We should be saying, what do you think? How do you think we should handle this? Whether we did it publicly or privately, and privately so that they wouldn't get the credit for, they wouldn't have to get the blame for how it all turned out. But who would know better? Have you been to the Holocaust Museum? Who would know better than the Jews, who've done such a beautiful job of carrying the truth along and how to handle this situation, and then kind of submit to their lead in this? To submit to their lead in this. And they're real wise. I mean, the wisdom would say, you know, what is Prime Minister Netanyahu saying? Why is he saying it? What is their military forces saying? Listen, you don't need to follow our lead from this other hemisphere. We want to follow your lead from this hemisphere over here.
No doubt.
And it makes me think of context. I remember when the Lord was speaking to me years ago, very specifically, and he told me, I was so amazed in how he spoke to me that one particular time, but I heard the audible voice where he said, always look at context. Always look at context in regards to his word and scripture. And you think about it. If God's word can be misused, misunderstood, and could be used to destroy and mislead people when it's used out of context, let me tell you about men's word and men's decisions. They have to always be considered in the context of what's going on. What is their fruit? What is their vision? Who are their friends? I mean, you can't just, we're comparing things to previous presidential administrations, you can't do that. You have to think every president's an individual, and they think differently and they operate differently. So you can't just say, well, this is how so-and-so would handle it, and just, you got to, wait a minute, what have you done up to this point? Mm-hmm. What's been going on? We're talking about potentially sending our sons and daughters and fathers and mothers to war. No matter what people tell you, this is how they start. This is how you get involved. Have you been to the funeral of any of the soldiers and held the mothers and the children who lost their lives at Iraq and Afghanistan? Have you walked with those who lost their legs and their arms and their whole life as they knew it? Are you aware that right now, reportedly, there's 1 million vets who have been not taken medically into care at VA, the Veterans Administration, because their system is overwhelmed right now? I'm not saying, no doubt, we need to deal with this horrific tragedy. I am saying consider the context and deciding how you're going to respond to it. And who should take the lead in this? There has never been a leader in America that has so rapidly led us down a road from God, his ways, and into the arms of Islam, those who speak openly about the destruction of America, about embracing and empowering the Muslim Brotherhood, all the way from Egypt, all the way up, swinging around the breeze, the spring breeze, going up to Syria and around. One who consults with, reportedly, a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood before even going to speak to Israel. I'm not saying that anyone, including American president, can't be free to exercise their faith under the First Amendment. I'm just saying we have to take into context, what does the Islamic faith say, which we have openly embraced as part of the context of the decision, because everybody in Syria is crying out to this Islamic God. The ones that are being on the ground crying out, the ones whose hearts being cut out, the one who's cutting out the heart, the leader of Syria is crying out to this God, and our president is embracing this God and embracing those who embrace this God, whose Quran says that the Jews and Christians are infidel. The unbeliever is infidel. They either convert, go into servitude, pay a tax, or die. Why would you want to walk into an environment like that without having clarity about who you are as a people? The first international speech in Cairo, Egypt, of our president, the first thing he did was go to Egypt, Cairo University, and pave a way for Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, to take presidency and take out the president of Egypt. And the people today cry out after removing him, saying, why did you do this to us? You put a terrorist in power over us. Now they protest our streets, Christians and Egyptians side by side, crying out, saying, why did you put the Muslim Brotherhood over us? And now we're asking the question, why are we going to go there and embolden the Muslim Brotherhood to come against Assad, who Iran is supporting? Yes, there's different names for it, but look, they're all crying out to the same God. Mm-hmm. They all think they're doing Allah a favor. They're all doing it in the name of their God. While at the same time, the United Nations has a voting block in it, which means a majority always has a majority, always has a majority, always has a majority that would back the Arab League. That's why you see all these things coming against Israel, because there's more Muslim nations on the United Nations that has a voting block, a majority voting block, and they're constantly, which means this, the United Nations is predominantly Muslim majority. The Arab League is all Muslim nations. They're surrounding it. They're right there. Syria was part of it. Assad was sat at the table with them. We should be supporting them. They should be on the front lines. We're being used as a battering ram in the vision of establishing a caliphate in these days in the nation. And we're so blind that our nation has been honed and beat and just molded to be a battering ram to shove right in the middle of all this mess. And the church sits silently. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour, but consider the context of what's going on. We're going to talk about Jerusalem and Israel and Syria and how they're 90 miles apart and how God is going to judge us, a nation, for how we responded to Israel. You've got to stay tuned in the extra hour.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. The VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up, download it for free, or go to vfntv.com. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to vfntv.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at vfntv.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email. Whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC, the Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.